court this afternoon, the United States of America versus Brian Higgins. This is 3-18 CR 186, and this matter was originally scheduled for a Daubert hearing. However, subsequent to that, on May 14, 2021, there was a motion filed by counsel for Mr. Higgins for a competency examination. And so the court vacated the date with regard to the Daubert hearing and set this motion for competency examination today. So if counsel would enter their appearance with the record.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Brent Tabashi and Rob Painter on behalf of the United States.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Tamara Sack and Paul Loffman on behalf of defendant Brian Higgins.
All right. Ms. Sack, Mr. Loffman, your motion. If you want to approach the podium, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good afternoon, Your Honor. Thank you. With the court's permission, Judge, I'm going to take sort of the 10,000-foot view and then allow Ms. Sack to follow up with some additional facts and thoughts, particularly given that her experience in this case predates mine. Your Honor, the motion that's before the court today requesting the evaluation be conducted of Mr. Higgins was somewhat long in coming. It was given substantial thought and consideration, and a lot of that has to do with how Mr. Higgins presents to Ms. Sack and myself and to the court. Honestly, Judge, this motion gave us pause. It gave us a lot of time and thought and consideration, and when filed, was filed with Mr. Higgins's approval and largely at his request. Though we certainly do think it's supported and necessitated by the facts and circumstances surrounding this case, as we will discuss. Judge, Mr. Higgins presents a very interesting dichotomy to the court. In some ways, he is extremely intelligent, certainly educated and thoughtful. This is not a circumstance which I think looks at the aspects of competency having to do with the awareness of the circumstance. We could even advise the doctors who evaluate Mr. Higgins, and we likely will, they need not bother with questions of who is the judge and what is a prosecutor and what are their roles. Those issues really aren't at play. There's no doubt that Mr. Higgins understands all of that. What does give us concern, Judge, and we hope that both the court and perhaps even more importantly, Mr. Higgins, understands that we're pursuing this motion in large part to protect him. Because Ms. Sack and I just don't fully comprehend or understand the forces, the psychological issues that are at play. All we're able to do is see them at play and see how they confront us. As this court knows, as is matter of public record, Mr. Higgins has a deep-seated concern. Strongly held belief probably doesn't do it justice. That at the core of this case is some larger scheme of wrong having to do with child molestation, with Chicago politics, with corruption, connecting to Rahm Emanuel and various other political figures, and that is intertwined necessarily with the defense of this case. There have been times where Ms. Sack and I have been able to have him focus on the issues. At the end of the day, this is an insurance fraud case. There are issues of damages and communications, and whether there was fraudulent intent. And for periods of time, we've had what we view to be his attention and his focus. And then at various times, there are just what I've referred to colloquially as just hard lefts. Either in communications to us or attacks upon us or attacks upon the government. And again, I'll allow Ms. Sack to sort of go through some of the history of this case, and certainly the court is well aware of the record and things that have been filed and struck, or actions that have been taken, or actions that have resulted in other court intervention. But at the end of the day, Judge, you know, we just have real valid concerns as this individual's representatives, that we just cannot ably represent him at significant times throughout this case. And whether it's by choice, which would be a critical distinction, you know, is this something that Mr. Higgins simply focuses or chooses to focus on? But honestly, Your Honor, my concern is that it's not by choice. That what we do have going on is a mental defect that results in a compulsion, one that he simply can't resist, to sort of keep his eye on the ball and understand what we're trying to talk about. And that issue raises very real and very legitimate concerns to my and Ms. Sack's abilities to represent him, our abilities to communicate him, our abilities to get him to focus on what's truly at issue in this case. And Your Honor, I understand that, you know, Mr. Higgins will certainly have an opportunity to speak. And I will say this is the first time, at least in my recent recollection, that I have argued in favor of a competency motion with someone who I thought was so fully in control of their, at least, you know, mental capacities and functions to know what's going on, and yet to sort of feel duty bound to say to the court and to Mr. Higgins, we just need to find out what's going on here. Mr. Higgins could result in a prison term. I feel it's necessary to fulfill my ethical obligations to Mr. Higgins and the court to ensure that there is not a mental defect in place that is not significantly impairing his ability to be represented. And all I can share with the court is what I have so far about our concerns and the manner and means in which these compulsions that he feels have truly frustrated those efforts. With that, Judge, I'll ask Ms. Sack to sort of do a more nuts and bolts factual analysis.
Thank you. Ms. Sack.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, in, I believe it was April of 2020, I was appointed to represent Mr. Higgins as successor counsel after he had private counsel. And spoke with Mr. Higgins over the phone and met with him in my office a few times. And as the case proceeded, Mr. Higgins, I just think either shortly before my official appointment or shortly thereafter, Mr. Higgins filed a lawsuit in the Montgomery County Court of Common Pleas, sounding in a breach of contract against persons associated with this case. And notwithstanding the protective order, he had divulged within that filing documents pertaining to this case that has that are contemplated within a protection order. And I had asked him not to do that. We did have a show cause hearing in September of 2020 regarding that. And this court gave Mr. Higgins a purge time to correct that filing. And that was not done. Throughout my representation of Mr. Higgins, I saw that he had a fixation, a concern, a nagging issue about things that happened in Chicago, particularly somebody who succeeded him in a contract he had with the city for body removal. Mr. Higgins forwarded me documents that are of public record, filings in Chicago, filings that Mr. Higgins proceeded in the Keaton claim and other claims regarding his association with the city of Chicago as a contractor or a vendor as well. Afterwards, Mr. Loftman joined me in my representation, and Mr. Higgins and I discussed that. I said, I'm going to seek from the court to appoint, if they'll appoint co-counsel with me. There's a lot going on in your case, and I feel I would benefit from another attorney working and helping me. And since that time, since the case has progressed, Mr. Higgins has filed some pro se filings of his own that the court has subsequently stricken. Those filings concerned a plethora of filings and materials that have nothing to do with the case at hand. As well, approximately in December of 2020, Mr. Higgins informed Mr. Loftman and myself that he was seeking to no longer have us as his counsel, and he wanted to proceed pro se. Mr. Higgins was told about the Ferrata hearing and the standards and criteria that the court would have to use to allow someone to proceed pro se. We showed up at the appointed date for the hearing. It was the 22nd of January, and Mr. Higgins had a change of heart. He decided he did not want to represent himself and continue with Mr. Loftman and myself. Since that time, Mr. Loftman and I have endeavored to represent Mr. Higgins to the best of our collective ability. But we are waylaid by Mr. Higgins' constant refrains of prior happenings in Chicago and elsewhere, not concerning the case, not concerning the case at hand. It's a pattern, and it hasn't stopped. Despite our protestations, Mr. Higgins continues to carry on about things that the government isn't paying attention to. He has a refrain, what about the children? There's a video link that he attaches to various emails sent to us. And I've watched the video, I think Mr. Loftman has as well. And it has absolutely nothing to do with this case. In order to represent someone, namely Brian Higgins, it's imperative that we have lines of communication and we have an understanding and a common denominator revolving around the facts and issues of Mr. Higgins' case. We simply don't have that. It has been a struggle to have communication where Mr. Higgins is focused on his defense and the salient issues concerning that. Recently, with the advent of our expert, insurance expert, Mr. Higgins understood the nature of that. That report, of course, was shared with him, and he is aware of our efforts in his defense. That notwithstanding, it still has not stopped the wave of sidetracking and Mr. Higgins bringing up issues and things that have nothing to do with his criminal case. I too echo the comments of Mr. Loftman that basic experiences with Mr. Higgins, he's highly intelligent and he has no problem knowing what our role is, what your role is, Your Honor, what the government's role is, but at issue is the ability to assist in his defense. That is our concern, and I think that all of these issues and concerns are best left to experts who can do a forensic mental health evaluation upon Mr. Higgins. Your Honor, we respectfully move the court to allow Mr. Higgins to have a competency examination. I have thought to seek private outside psychiatrists to do the examination. I've had this experience for several years now since I've been an attorney. I've also had experience with the BOP conducting such analysis. I find the BOP to be the best possible place for Mr. Higgins to receive this analysis. I find that they have the experience, the staff, and the facility to do the most comprehensive evaluation of Mr. Higgins. Thank you.
Thank you. Before I turn to the government, Mr. Higgins, you want to say anything?
Yes, Your Honor. This whole thing kind of reminds me of a mentor of mine, rest in peace, Bill Skank, who actually used to preside in these exact rooms that I'm in. What a mess, what a mess, what a mess. On Friday, Your Honor, we had a conversation with counsel in which Mr. Loftman indicated that I have always taken their advice. I have always listened to them. In fact, Mr. Loftman indicated that, you know, I can clearly understand what a judge is, what a jury is, and what their function is. The problem that I have had and where I suffer from, if there is any mental defect, is the fact that for over 2 years, Your Honor, I have been awaiting my day in court to proceed with the case before us, which deals with a fish tank. The government, Mr. Tabachi and others, have refused to entertain anything outside of discussing a fish tank. I have had meetings with the government in which, and my counsel as well, in which I was asked, Mr. Higgins, the government will give you a meeting with the Chicago FBI if you will just take a pleading that is acceptable to you. I was handed 19 pages of the misdemeanor code and told me to pick a misdemeanor that was acceptable to me. What appears, Your Honor, and I once again go back to my mentor, rest in peace, what a mess, what a mess, what a mess. 9 continuances later, I stand before you, possibly getting shipped off to a federal facility, no destination known, time limit up to 45 days. Well, Your Honor, we're still going to come back to this exact same courtroom in 45 days, or whenever it is, to proceed with the fish tank. What I have informed my counsel this morning, or this afternoon, I should say, is that I have every intention on assisting them in my defense. I have every intention on giving them my undivided attention to talk about a fish tank. I realize now that the United States government has no interest in hearing anything about the children. Therefore, I am not going to mention the children anymore, Your Honor. Now, I know that as you sit there, you have many decisions you can make. I don't know which one you're leaning toward. All I can tell you is that I wholly, truly hope and pray that this court takes into consideration a lot of factors. Namely, the fact that I was just informed on Friday that I needed to make get my affairs in order. 24 hours to get my affairs in order, Your Honor. I just started the job last week. I have a 23-year-old son. I have an 83-year-old father. And I get a 24-hour notice to get my affairs in order because I will likely be remanded to the Bureau of Prisons. You have often, in past, talked about miscarriage of justice. I've heard that reoccurring word or reoccurring phrase. Your Honor, I do believe that if it is your desire to send me away, I believe that that's God's will, and I will clearly go into the custody of these fine gentlemen back here. However, if it's not your will to send me off to an undisclosed location for an undisclosed amount of days, I will assist my counsel and everything they need from me. I will not mention the children anymore. The children have clearly, that ship has sailed. So with that, Your Honor, I will rest and may God bless you.
Your Honor, just a couple of quick points. The United States does agree with the defense counsel that Mr. Higgins, really from the onset of this case, has engaged in a pattern of erratic behavior that does call into his question his ability to rationally work with his counsel. And I think that it needs to be clear, I don't think anyone, the court, the government, defense counsel, have some desire to see Mr. Higgins taken into BOP custody. It's whether, as a legal matter, whether as a matter of making sure that the system works, that he's protected, that he's taken into custody. And I do believe that the record that Mr. Loftman and Ms. Sack have laid out adequately shows the difficulties and the concerns of whether or not Mr. Higgins can actually work with them in a way that is meaningful, that allows him to defend this case. You know, he can, this is a fairly complicated wire and mail fraud case. It involves claims of witness tampering. All of those things require Mr. Higgins' attention on the facts of this case, not events that happened decades ago. And I think unless and until there is an evaluation performed of him, I think there are going to be concerns, particularly in the appellate record. Now, with regard to whether or not the evaluation should take place locally or at BOP, I do think that there are three guiding points that I'd just like to highlight. First is, as a practical matter, the custom and practice of this court, being the Southern District of Ohio, has generally been to remand people into BOP custody for an evaluation. Not every case, it doesn't happen in every case, but by and large, it has been the custom and practice of this district, and it's for a reason. The second point, and a point that Ms. Sack, I think very astutely brought up, is that the BOP is in the best position, given their expertise in dealing with these type of issues and these type of concerns, that making a full and complete evaluation of someone. The United States certainly does not want to be in the business of trying people who are incompetent. And the BOP has an excellent track record of giving a full, complete, and neutral evaluation in a setting that allows them to perform their analysis over a lengthy period of time, as opposed to a two-hour sit-down. And then lastly, there are concerns from the government's perspective of whether or not Mr. Higgins would actually comply with an evaluation here in the community. He's defied court orders dealing with protection. I know that Mr. Higgins has repeatedly sent to government's counsel what I can only say are bizarre emails. He's been instructed by his attorneys to refrain from doing that, and he largely has persisted. So there is a concern that Mr. Higgins would actually have the ability to comply with the court's order if he were to remain here in the community. So for those reasons, Your Honor, we do ask that the court grant the defense motion and refer Mr. Higgins to a BOP facility for an evaluation.
Counsel, it's your motion. Do you have any?
Thank you, no, Your Honor.
All right. These are difficult issues that the court deals with. I appreciate the fact that Mr. Higgins has brought to my attention my use frequently of the phrase miscarriage of justice and my attempt to consistently avoid that. And most of that is, of course, stated for the record, although it's always in the court's mind. Most of it's stated during the times of the continuances. And he's indicated there have been a number of continuances, mostly all moved by the defendant. And the court does attempt to avoid any kind of miscarriage of justice. Under the statute, at any time after the commencement of a prosecution of an offense, or at any time after commencement of any type of supervision, a defendant, which initially was part of this motion, a defendant or the attorney for the defendant or the government may file a motion for a hearing to determine competency of a defendant. And the court also may grant such on its own motion. I must state that in addition to what has been presented to this court, the court has a intimate knowledge of the proceedings in this matter, the bumps in the road that we have had, the lack of compliance that we have had, and that based upon that, and in addition to what has been presented to me, the court also if such a motion is filed. And if, upon the filing of that motion, if there is reasonable cause to believe that a defendant may presently be suffering from a mental disease or defect, which may render him or her mentally incompetent to the extent that he is unable or she is unable to understand the nature and consequences of the proceedings and to assist properly in a defense, the court may order an evaluation to be conducted before, of course, the hearing to determine competency is held. I appreciate Mr. Higgins' statements here today that he would cooperate, that I don't know what this issue is about the children. I understand those things, but I am gravely concerned that to allow this matter to go forward prior to a determination of whether or not Mr. Higgins can adequately or appropriately or sufficiently assist properly in his defense would indeed, in my words, as he has quoted, result in a miscarriage of justice. So, the court is going to grant the motion for a competency examination. The court is going to order that Mr. Higgins be remanded to the United States Armed Service Corps and to the Bureau of Prisons for an evaluation. And as soon as, and then the court will encourage that to occur as quickly as possible by the BOP once we receive that report and recommendation back. We will immediately set a hearing for the purposes of the competency issue, and then depending upon how that results, the court will then, if it's appropriate, will set the matter for trial. Counsel?
Nothing further on behalf of the United States.
Judge, only one request. To the extent that the court has the authority to make a recommendation to the marshals regarding Mr. Higgins' placement, I have had clients previously seen at FCI Butner, B-U-T-N-E-R. They have reported positively to me regarding the treatment and facilities. If the court would consider in its judgment entry making a recommendation that he be transferred to.
I don't know about the marshals, but I can make that recommendation. We'll do so.
Understood. Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Higgins, I'm asking you to cooperate with me, and we'll get this evaluation. If indeed everything is fine, we'll get this matter back. We'll set this matter for trial as quickly as we can. I won't let it sit. However, I really truly do believe that it's necessary to resolve this matter before we go any further, and that's based upon this court's knowledge of the docket in this case, what has transpired in this case, as well as the presentation of the counsel. Any further come before the court?
May I, Your Honor, have a question? May I have a couple of minutes before I get remanded to give my belongings to Legion?
I don't think there's any problem. Marshall, any problem with that?
No, Your Honor, we were going to give the property to his family members.
Yeah, let's make arrangements. Make sure that everything he needs to surrender to them is done. That way, hopefully all that concern, your concerns will be addressed.
I want to give her a couple telephone numbers to call because people, I haven't. Okay, thank you. Maybe just 10 minutes.
Why don't you remain, however you're going to do that to communicate the numbers, write them down or provide them as long as they know those things. But there's no problem with that.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further?
Are you ready?
No, thank you.
You want me, can I type or can I write?
Yeah, you can write real quick. You got your like wallet or anything like that?
No, I don't have a wallet. I have a driver's license.
Okay, no, I was just making sure that way we can give it to your family. We can give them a phone as well.
Yeah.